Hey there, Grace family, and everybody else that's tuning in from all over Tennessee and North America and even the world. Tens of thousands of you have been joining us, and I am so appreciative that you're with us today. I hope you've enjoyed the great time of worship with Pastor Jeff and our team. We are thrilled with what God is doing right now, not only in Grace, but in churches all over the land. I know these are strange times, unprecedented days. We just got this news about pushing this quarantine a little further through this month. But folks, this is a wonderful time for the gospel. We are hearing testimonies just pouring in about what God is doing in people's hearts and lives and families and neighborhoods. I'm going to share just a little bit as we go through this message today. But you know, we are really still growing together. We're just one church in thousands, and I might say tens of thousands of locations. You know, we have one faith. We're not making it up. It was delivered to us. We're passing it on to others. We're one family, and we have one focus. Let's put a smile on God's face today. Let's make sure everything we do is for His glory and for His praise. We are so excited that you're with us, and you know, we have been on this wonderful journey since the Lewis family joined the Grace family in January of 2019, the first book we launched out with was the book of Ephesians. And so if you have a Bible there nearby, wherever you're watching from, I hope you'll open it up, or if it's digital, click it or swipe over and head back, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. Believe it or not, our journey comes to a close today, this Palm Sunday, April the 5th. I wanted to go ahead and finish because next week, I have an incredibly important message to share with you. The title is, Because He Lives. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. So stay tuned to our social media, our website, our app, and all of our available accounts. We'll tell you about that service a little bit later, but we want to focus on the end of this journey and see where God has brought us. What have we learned together as a church family? And I know there are a lot of new folks that have been connecting with Grace in these days. Can I encourage you? Go back through our website or app or iTunes or any way you connect to us. Go back and check out some of these previous services and previous messages. We've had 29 different messages in the book of Ephesians. And I want to talk for just a minute about what God's done, what the Lord has shown us. Just by way of review, if you have a Bible there, you could just kind of look back with me real quick. Chapter 1 of Paul's letter to the Ephesian believers. Paul told us we are blessed beyond belief in Christ. We are selected and saved and sealed by our triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit selects us and saves us and seals us. We learned at the end of chapter 1 that God gives us resurrection power in Jesus. Of course, next week, because He lives, we're going to talk about that again. In chapter 2, we learned that without Christ, we're just dead men walking. Dead women walking. But we know that when we trust Jesus, God has brought us from death to life through the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus. We discovered also in chapter 2, there are no more walls between different people groups, specifically between Jews and Gentiles, and no more walls between mankind and Creator God. We then learned in chapter 3 that Paul is teaching us about this mystery of how Jews and Gentiles and everybody can be brought together in Jesus. Paul prayed for the church, and he taught us how we can pray with great expectations. I hope you were with us last week when we talked about prayer. You know, I'm believing God that these are days when He will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are seeing incredible things happening for the gospel. And I believe with all my heart that we are seeing the sparks of a new great awakening. You know, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. You know, we need a healing like never before. We need a physical healing. We need a spiritual healing in our land. We need an economic and emotional healing. And folks, the church, even though we may not be together in one place physically, we are scattered all over our nation and all over this world, and we are seeing a difference for Christ. So don't lose heart. God is doing exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, we learned that we can be all for one because Jesus is one for all. You know, the Lord has gifted each of us individually, but the greatest gift any of us have ever received is the gift of Jesus, his sacrificial death, his burial, his resurrection, so that our sins may be forgiven. We can enjoy eternal and abundant life here and now, and life with the Lord in heaven when we go to be with him. Also in chapter 4, we talked about how God guarantees growth for his church when each of us do our part. See, ministers and pastors, we're not called to do all of the work, but we walk alongside of you and with you, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. We learned in chapter 4 to be out with the old man and in with the new. And then we concluded that chapter by seeing what it would take to travel the highway of holiness. When we started chapter 5, we learned how important it is to be imitators of Christ rather than cheap imitations in the world. And we talked about being the light, being reflectors of Christ's light, and learning to walk in wisdom. Then I started a mini series of messages, and this might be really important for you guys that might be stuck at home a lot right now with wives and kids, but it was called Home Improvement, right? Godly husbands, godly wives, godly parents and children. How can we make our homes a beautiful sanctuary and a perfect picture of the gospel? How can our homes be a reflection of God's goodness? Of course, finally in chapter 6, we've spent several weeks discovering and discussing each piece of the armor of God. And real quick, I'll show you one more time. We remember the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about the shoes of the gospel and the shield of faith with which we'll be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Then we talked about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How can we ensure that we can put all those pieces on? How can we ensure that we are battle ready? Well, we do it with prayer. That's what we talked about last week. We are praying always. We are praying about anything and about everything. And now today, Paul concludes this wonderful letter, this beautiful book, by saying, Christians, this is how I want you to pray specifically. I want to get down to brass tacks, and I want to tell you these are the things you're going to take before the Lord. And I've entitled this message today, Fearlessly Share the Faith. Fearlessly Share the Faith. So I've been asking you to do this, and it's been kind of neat to see how different folks have done this wherever they may be. If you're able, in honor of the reading of God's word, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Would you do that? I'll give you a moment. Might take a little longer than normal. We do that as the Lord instructs us over in Nehemiah. They stood when the word of God was read in honor and in reverence. And I'm going to start back with verse 17, Ephesians 6:17, and I'm going to read all the way through 24. The Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now look, we pick up on this new part right here. And for me, Paul said, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly, he says that again, as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I've sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. I love that. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And God's people said, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It is truth without any mixture of error. And as you've been teaching us over the course of over a year now and 29 different messages in this wonderful book, we have so much to learn. And it's not just theological head knowledge that you desire for us, but it is truly the application of these things that you've been pouring in us and through us. And so just as Paul spoke to the believers in and around Ephesus, we have the opportunity today to speak to men and women, boys and girls, believers and maybe some seekers, people all over the world that are searching for truth. Your word is truth. And so speak into every heart. Your people are gathered in a new way. And we're anticipating what you have to say to us all right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And get settled back in wherever you are. And I'm just going to give you two very simple guiding truths today. Two truths that I think will help you. And then a couple of maybe subpoints you might say about how we unpack these truths. First off, Christians should always pray for the spread of the gospel. Christians should always pray for the spread of the gospel. Let's look at Paul's closing words, and then we'll come back and we'll focus more on 19 to 20. But now, realizing that Ephesian Christians could not pray specifically or intelligently for Paul without more information, look at what he says in 21 and 22. He says, I want you to know my affairs and how I'm doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, he'll make all things known to you. And I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. I mean, this is long before you could put a status update on Facebook or shoot something on Instagram or throw together a quick TikTok video. I mean, this was long before those days. And so through this letter that Tychicus would deliver to the Ephesian church and the churches in the area, Paul is saying, I want you to know what's going on. We're going to be making every effort to reach out to all of our membership in different ways. We're trying to write a number of you. We've got phone calls that are going out. We're trying to connect and say, listen, is there anything we can pray for you about? Is there anything you need? Anything we as a church family can do for you or with you? Of course, practicing all of the guidelines we've been given. We're trying to connect and say, let's talk about how things are going. How's your family? How's your spiritual life? How's your physical health? How's your mental health? How are you doing out there? And so Tychicus, this particular man, he appears five times in the New Testament. And with each time that he's introduced, he serves as a messenger for Paul, a representative, if you will. And he not only delivered this letter, but he delivered the letter over to the believers at Colossae as well. And in both cases, he was instructed, hey, give my brothers and sisters more info about me. Tell them how I'm doing. Tell them what's going on. And in addition to informing the Ephesian believers, Tychicus, who's commended here as a faithful minister in the Lord, he's to encourage them. I love this. It says in the end of 22 that this brother was sent to comfort their hearts. I love that. Now, Ephesians, to me, is one of Paul's most comforting and encouraging letters. I just love it. I've always loved it. And I've talked about that in sermons past, but this letter has meant so much as a believer in my own heart and life. But Paul says, look, in addition to the letter, I'm going to be incarnational. I want to send someone of flesh and blood to you that can love you right where you are. Let me encourage you. As much as you can, again, within guidelines, show the incarnational love of Jesus to others. Sure, write them, that's great. Call them, that's wonderful. Shoot them a message or give maybe a social media update, those are fine. But try to be incarnational, in the flesh, whenever you can, wherever it is safe. And so, you know, I'm praying for your hearts today. I'm praying for you folks, wherever you may be, that God would comfort you. Now, why is Paul doing this? Why didn't Paul just say, hey, I'll just come and see you myself. Just hang on. I've got this letter, but I'm coming. Well, where is Paul? This is a prison epistle. Paul is in Roman prison. He is in chains. You know, this man in chains, it's fascinating to me that this one in chains is seeking to give comfort to the hearts of others. And Paul's closing words in 23 and 24 really are just a reflection of all he's been teaching them and teaching us in the course of this letter. He says, I want you to have peace, my brothers. I want you to have love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of those who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And then he says, so be it. Exclamation point, amen. Amen. You see what Paul is doing? He's talking about love and peace and faith, all of these recurring themes in this great letter, and all of this built on a foundation of grace. What is grace? Well, it's not just the name of our church, is it? Charis. What is it? It's really God's divine favor. God lavishly loving on us, giving us far more than any of us could or would ever deserve. God's grace is abounding. And I believe what Paul is saying, even though he is in chains, he's saying, I want you to have peace, and I want you to have love, and I want you to have faith. So I've got a question for us out there. It's in your notes. How can we demonstrate peace, love, and faith? How can we demonstrate that? You know, I've been thinking about that a lot in recent days. How can we offer a sense of peace? You know, we're trying to love the children and families of our community. We're giving more and more and more away. I'm in contact regularly with churches around our community and beyond. I reached out to a number of fellow pastors this morning. What do you need, my brothers? Because grace has been blessed, grace the church, how can we be a blessing to you? As we're stepping it up, feeding people, being more generous. Let me tell you something I love. Check this out. Our Hugs Ministry, that sweet group of folks that do the quilting and all of that, you know what they're doing right now? You know what they're spending their days making? Face masks. They're taking material and making face masks. In a time where there is great need, what an incredible way to show peace in love and faith. And so I want you to ask a question. How can God use me to comfort someone's heart? How can the Lord Jesus use me right now, this day or this week, in this situation? How can the Lord use me and my family and my life? We have been so encouraged by incredible acts of kindness. We were so encouraged just the other day on a Zoom call with our grace group. We had grace group leaders come and bring flowers and candy to our home, just left it on our porch. We've had people doing things for our children, loving on them, ministers here at our church, just members that have said, you know what, I'm gonna go love on people. Yes, I'm going to practice social distancing. Yes, I'm going to be careful, but I'm just going to go love on people in practical ways. I've heard stories about our team sharing the gospel with neighbors that they would otherwise never have had an opportunity to meet. But with everybody getting a little stir crazy and some beautiful weather as of late, people getting out of the house, sharing. How can you be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in these days? You say, well, wait a minute. I feel like I'm in prison. I feel like I'm in prison in my own house. Folks, Paul really was in prison. He really was in chains. But here Paul says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray that utterance may be given to me, that I can open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Did you see what he didn't ask for? He didn't say, hey, church, I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray that God would take away the chains. He didn't say that. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong for you to say, Lord, when will this craziness be over? Lord, I'll be glad when this quarantine gets behind us. Lord, I'm ready to gather with my church family face to face. Sure, it's good and right to pray such things. But in this particular case, Paul didn't say, pray that my chains would be gone. He said, pray that the gospel would go forth. Consider our current situation. How many prayers have we uttered? Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I don't know if I can take much more of this. Lord, please protect us. Please heal us. Lord, it feels like I'm in house arrest right now. Listen, friend, again, there's nothing wrong with praying that this season would be behind us sooner than later. But the cry of Paul's heart is for boldness, for fearlessness to make known the mystery of the gospel. The Greek word there, norizo, this idea of making known the gospel, meaning make the gospel recognizable. He uses this word boldly twice, fearlessly, that I would share even from my Roman prison cell. The book of Philippians, likely written just shortly after Ephesians, Paul says something similar there in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Listen to what Paul said. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, being imprisoned, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Has anything in recent days taken God by surprise? Has anything that we've faced thrown the Lord off his throne? Well, of course not. He's already in tomorrow. He already knows what's coming. He saw this from eternity past. So I think it's time for the church to say, Lord, what are you teaching me through this? God, how are you using this to make sure the gospel will spread at such a time as this? Could it be our prayer, Christians, that God would use this for the furtherance of his kingdom, and that we and that other believers would be much more bold in making the gospel recognizable? You know, and I know, people are all around us in time of uncertainty, fear, a little bit of internal chaos. I'm not trying to belittle any of that. That's very real, and the concern is very real. But God is so much greater. But we have to be watching. We have to be aware. We have to be cognizant to the needs around us. In fact, I read a true story. It really touched my heart. It actually happened way back in August of 1985. In fact, August the 1st, 1985. It's a story about a large pool party that was held to celebrate the first summer in memory without a drowning at a busy New Orleans city pool. They had always seemed to have one or two drownings every year, but this particular year, nobody had drowned in that pool. So in honor of the occasion, about 200 people gathered, and there were over 100 certified lifeguards there. As the party was breaking up and the four lifeguards who were on active duty began to clear the pool, they found a fully dressed body in the deep end. They tried to revive Jerome Moody, age 31, but it was too late. He had drowned, surrounded by lifeguards celebrating their first successful season. Friends, even in a nation with churches all around us, people are still drowning out in this world. And if someone you know today has never accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, the Bible says they are already dead in trespasses and sins. It is our privilege, it is our responsibility, not just to stand around and celebrate the successes, but to help drowning men and women and dead men and women find life in Jesus Christ. It is our joy, it is our privileges, and God has given us such a time as this, even as Esther would say, could God have raised us up for such a time as this to bring a great awakening to our land, to tell folks, you know what, God has given me a new boldness in the faith, and when I am out in the neighborhood, or when I am sharing, sure, at an appropriate distance, but I am going to tell people about the hope that lies within me. We are to pray for the spread of the gospel. People around us are searching, they're hurting, they're needing us to stand up and not just tell them about Jesus, but show them Jesus as well. We not only pray for the spread of the gospel, look, number two, Christians should fearlessly share the truth of the gospel. That's not just verbal assent. That's not just speaking some good words about Jesus, showing people what Christ really looks like. See, once in verse 19 and again once in verse 20, Paul asked the church to pray that he might open his mouth and speak boldly about Christ. Boldly, parousia, literally. I would be frank and open. I would speak with freedom and without fear. I want to speak fearlessly about Jesus. Why? Well, he tells us. He says, I want you to pray for me to make the gospel known boldly because I am an ambassador in chains. An ambassador. Presbuo. What is that? It's a representative. You know, he knows he should share. And he's saying, pray that I would speak as I ought to speak. People around me are watching. People are seeing, how will I handle this imprisonment? Just like when he and Silas were imprisoned and they began singing hymns to God. People around were paying attention. And when God showed up and did the miraculous and gave them freedom that they didn't even run out to take, the jailer and all of his family would come to trust Christ. And the witness was so powerful there. And guess what? Paul is not the only ambassador of Jesus. Who else? Who else is called to be a representative of Christ? I am. He's my Lord and Savior. And if you are a Christian today, wherever you are an ambassador for Christ. I know some of you know this, but we, all Christians everywhere, 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled. If you're a genuine believer, I wrote it like this, you are an ambassador, a representative of Christ to others. If folks are ever waiting to see what the church will do, they're waiting and they're watching right now. They want to see how the church will respond when the community, the state, the whole country is in unprecedented time of need and unprecedented time of opportunity. We have a chance to truly love our neighbors well. We have a chance to be the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have truly trusted Christ in your own heart and in your own life, then just like Paul, you ought to be saying, Lord, give me boldness to share the truth. I am an ambassador. I am a representative of Jesus. Jesus can't just be proclaimed in the beautiful worship centers of the world. It's been written, I simply argue that the cross be raised again at the center of the marketplace, as well as on the steeple of the church. I am recovering the claim that Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves, on a town garbage heap, at a crossroad of politics so cosmopolitan that they had to write his title in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek. And at the kind of place where cynics talk smut and thieves curse and soldiers gamble. Because that's where he died, and that's what he died about. And that's where Christ men and women ought to be, and what church folks ought to be about. Friends, the church has never meant to be a holy huddle. The church has never been about, oh, just come and see. That may be a little bit of it. Come and see the great things the Lord is doing. But the church has and will forever always be about go and tell. Go and tell the great things God has done in your life. Go and share the stories of what the Lord is doing. I'm so amazed at the folks reaching out to us, and I hope you'll write us today. I try to write every one of you that communicates with us. I hope you'll reach out and say, listen, Pastor, pray for me about this. Pray for my family. Let us know what's going on in your life, because we want to touch you and communicate with you, even through these digital channels. We want to use what God has given us, because folks, it is very very clear that we are in a world in desperate need of hope, in great need of peace, and the only way I know to give it is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. All of us have been separated from God by our own sin. Sin is just anything we think, say, do, or don't do that displeases God. You know, if you were supposed to go help that neighbor and you didn't do it, the Bible says to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. So who sins among us? Who's a sinner? Me, chief of sinners like Paul. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sin separates us from God because God is holy and perfect. He cannot allow sin in his presence. So what did they do? Well, back in the day, because life was in the blood, and we know that life is represented through blood, they would sacrifice animals. I know it seems barbaric, but this was a temporary patch, a foreshadowing, a system that said, well, if sin is separated and brought death, we have got to have a way to have life again and a relationship with God. And so we'll sacrifice this animal or these animals over and over and over, and it'll give us a spiritual band-aid. Here's just one big problem. Animal blood can never ultimately take away human sin. So God had a solution all along in Christ. You see, being 100% God and simultaneously 100% man, Jesus came to this earth, born through the Virgin Mary. Jesus lived a perfect life. Now, he was tempted and tried in every conceivable way, and yet Satan and all of his cohorts couldn't throw Christ off because he's the perfect God-man. That made him the perfect mediator between us and our Heavenly Father who created us. Jesus went to Calvary's cross, not because they forced him to go, but he was willing to go. No one takes my life from me, but I willingly lay it down. Jesus had nails put through his hands and his feet. Jesus died there. It was confirmed in numerous ways, including a large spear through his side. Jesus was taken down off that cross and put in a tomb. It was just hewn out of the rock, and they rolled a large stone in that tomb. But as we will celebrate in just 1 week, death could not hold our Lord and our Savior. Death would never hold the God-man, because 3 days later, by the power of Almighty God, Jesus broke forth and he left behind the bonds of sin and shame and death and hell. And he said, I am alive, and because I live, you can live. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And if you don't know him, why not trust him today? You have nothing to lose but hell. Trust Jesus today. Pray. God, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I want to turn away from sin and shame that's ruled my life. I want to trust Christ. I want to believe in Jesus. I want to walk with him and grow in faith. All you got to do is tell the Lord in your own words, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And the Bible says you will be saved, freed, liberated. You will find a peace that surpasses all understanding. You say, wait a minute, Bobby, how do you know that? Because I have it, and I'm not alone. Millions and millions of my brothers and my sisters around this nation and around this world have a peace with Jesus Christ. You say, I don't know about that. Well, then talk to them. Go talk to a Christian you know. Reach out to me. I'll be glad to talk with you. Anybody on our team would be honored to speak with you. We'll walk with you. And we'll make sure that you know Christ as your own Lord and your own Savior. And you know, friend, many of you are already saved. I get it. You're my brothers and sisters. But Pastor, what can I do in these days? I feel like I'm under house arrest. How about you writing a letter? No, it won't be inspired by the Holy Spirit of God like the Bible, but you write a letter. God can use that. How about you make a call? How about you use social media to be an influencer with people that I'll never be able to influence? How about you use the sphere of influence that God has given you to put out a good word for the Lord? Sure, we can keep talking about all the crazy around us and all the numbers and all of the things in the financial world and stimulus packages and all of that. And there's nothing wrong with looking at that a little, but how about we keep our eyes on Jesus even more? You can be the hands and feet of Christ. You can make yourself available to neighbors and beyond. Use all available means to fearlessly share the faith. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. You know, I just want to remind us all, the church has never been called to be keepers of the aquarium. We are called to be fishers of men. We are called to cast the gospel net far and wide and reach as many people as possible with the truth of Jesus. Friends, I've never seen some of you face to face, but the cry of my heart today is that one day I'll get to see you walk in heaven's streets, that you will become my brother or my sister in Christ, that you will receive the truth that God loves you and God has made a way for you to be reconciled to him. Paul didn't say, "Oh God, that these chains may fall away." Paul said, "Oh God and oh church, pray that in these chains I can be fearless for the gospel. I can share Jesus as I ought to share." I want the church to be a maternity ward where the cries of newborn babes in Christ are constantly being heard. But I'm scared. I feel weak myself, Pastor. How can I possibly share? I don't know what to say. I'm at wit's end. I'm so frazzled. How can I do this? I'm just not strong enough. Listen to the words of the old hymn of our faith.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all."
Sing it with me.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. And before the throne I stand in him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Let's sing it again.
Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
That's your story if you know Jesus today. Sin doesn't separate you anymore. You walk by faith with your Savior and the Savior of all mankind, and for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, because as soon as they do, the Bible says that they will be saved. Trust Jesus today. And if you are already my brother or my sister in Christ, let me encourage you, continue to fearlessly share the faith. Let's pray together, church. Father in heaven, I believe there are some people that are trusting Jesus for the very first time today. I don't know where they're tuning in from. I don't know if they're watching or listening. I don't know if they're doing it live or later. I don't know if it's even still Sunday the 5th. But God, I believe people are being touched and changed by the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, things have changed around us, but you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we cry out in faith and in trust and in hope and in comfort in our souls. If there are those that are trusting Jesus for the first time, I pray they'll reach out and let us know. If there are those who are trusting Jesus for the first time in a long time, I pray that they'll be restored and renewed, resurrendered and rejuvenated in the faith beginning right now. God, I know that these are challenging times. And I know, Lord, that these are days of uncertainty in many ways. But you already know tomorrow because you are there. It's in your hands. And so we choose to walk by faith, to walk in joy, and to fearlessly share with our loved ones and with our neighbors around us. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people together said, amen. Thank you again for tuning in and being with us here. My heart so longs for the time when I can look out across this space and see all the smiling faces of my brothers and sisters and our wonderful guest. But friends, I want you to know that God is with you where you are. You are not alone in Christ, and you are helping Grace Baptist Church be an influence on so many other missions and ministries. I want to ask you to do something. And I know these are times of uncertainty, but I want to ask you to please be sacrificial and please be cheerful in your support for the work and ministry of Grace. We are partnering with dozens of ministries around us locally and so many ministries nationally and internationally. We are keeping our eyes and ears open to needs, particularly of churches that may be struggling. We don't want some to have to close their doors and never reopen them. And your gifts enable us to do our ministry to maximum impact. And thank you so much for being faithful in these days. You have proven your faithfulness over and over. But through our website, through the app, or for those who just aren't comfortable with online giving, just mailing in a check that will be secure, I pray that you'll continue to support the work and ministry of your church. Or maybe you're somewhere else. Maybe you've been blessed in these days or in these weeks by the ministry of Grace. Friends, I'm not asking you to do this to somehow bring favor with the Lord. He loves you as much as he ever will. But because we love God and because we want other people to know him and love him too, we need to do this together. We need to partner now like never before. I know the needs are great around us. I know there are 1,000 things we could give for, and most, if not all of them, are worthy of our gifts. But please remember your church. Please remember that we are trying to be good stewards of the resources God has given us. Our team has worked in remarkable ways. Our age-graded ministries are going strong. Our Grace Go partnerships not only are going strong, but increasing as we speak. Mission and ministry doesn't stop just because we have to social distance for a season. We need the resources now more than ever. And I thank you on behalf of our entire Grace team for your faithfulness. Again, I want to mention to you before we leave, 865-ANY-CARE. 865-ANY-CARE. You'll also see information on your screen about our website and email. Reach out to us if you need anything at all, if there's anything we can pray for you about. As soon as we finish here, I am heading back over. I'm distancing myself and I'm going to hide in my office, and I'm writing people about the many, many prayer requests that we have received this week. Made numerous phone calls with folks, and we thank you so much for giving us that info. Let us love you in and through Christ. We're praying for you. We look forward to Resurrection Sunday, and I don't know yet how it's going to look. I know we're going to offer many times to be a part of the service, whatever that looks like. We're working through all the details, but I know that we have, even at such a time as this, something great to celebrate, and that is our living Lord. God bless you. We love you. We hope to see you soon.